The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh yeah.
And hello America, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Hope things are going good for a Friday here in America. And wow, do we have a lot going on around the country today. First of all, great to have you with us. And let me go ahead and give you our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling into the program today, 844-747-8868. Again, that is a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, you know, we're going to have a lot of fun today. We're going to toss out some trivia questions. I want to give some of you guys an advanced copy of my brand new book, which will be in bookstores in, wow, just about a week and a half. And by the way, just got word last night that the Billy Graham Library has invited us to come out there, do our show, and do a book signing at the Billy Graham Library. So we're pretty excited about that. There are good people out there. And if you haven't been to the Billy Graham Library, you need to get the kids, pack the kids into the Buick and get them on down to the Charlotte, North Carolina. So we're going to give you a chance to win the book, Our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl. And you can also pre-order that on our website, toddstarnes.com, and I will personally sign every single copy that you order. But today, I want to talk about something, start out the show with something that I think is exciting that's happening around America. Moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and taxpayers around this great nation are finally waking up, and they're finally understanding what is happening in their local public school. That is a big deal, because what's happening in that local public school is literally impacting everything that's happening in the United States of America right now. Every single thing that's happening in America right now can be blamed, can be traced back to what's happening in these propaganda classrooms that we are paying for with our tax dollars. And for so many years, we have ignored the public schools. For so many years, conservatives have been more concerned about taking back Washington, D.C., but they never have really been able to accomplish that. Yeah, I mean, we've had some victories here and there, but by and large, we have not seen any sustained, lasting change within the D.C. bureaucracy, which President Trump so aptly titled the swamp. We have not seen that much change. And the reason why is we are not dealing with the root problem. Well, now we have moms and dads that are starting to wake up, and it's happening literally all over America. And moms and dads are realizing that the public schools are not what we used to consider a public school. Back when we were growing up, they were teaching us life skills. By what, first, second grade, we were learning how to write a letter. We were learning about penmanship. We were learning how to write in cursive. Grace, that's a writing style, by the way. I just want you to know it's called
cursive. For your
information,
I learned how to write cursive.
Well, because you were homeschooled.
I was. Italic cursive, to be
homeschooled.
Exact. Yes.
There's a big difference.
Big difference.
But now they're teaching kids. They don't have time to teach kids about reading or writing or mathematics or how to write a letter or how to pay a bill, how to balance a checkbook. They don't have time because they're too busy trying to help people understand what their pronouns are. That's what the public school is up to. And now, of course, with the advancement of critical race theory, a lot of moms and dads are discovering their kids, they come home from school and they're weeping, they're crying, and they're saying, Mommy, Mommy, I'm so ashamed because we're white people and we're bad people. They're literally teaching children, white children, that they are bad people, that because of the skin color, because of the way God made them, that there's a problem with them. I can't tell you how evil and how vile that is. Could you imagine for a moment your little, let's say, five-year-old coming home from school in tears, and there's a note attached to your white child, and it said that, you know, we taught little Billy today that he has privilege. We taught little Billy today that he needs to repent because of the color of his skin. We taught Billy today that he needs to step to the back of the education bus so that other boys and girls who are of a different color can take advantage of the opportunities in life. And we've been talking about this on the program. A lot of conservative talk show hosts do not want to go down that path. They'll talk about critical race theory, but they won't exactly tell you what critical race theory is. Well, I believe in providing you the unvarnished truth. And the truth is, this is really about marginalizing white people in America and putting them in their place in the back of the school bus, in the balcony of the movie theaters. And we are starting to see the next stage of critical race theory evolve on university campuses, where now they are hosting segregated graduations. They are hosting segregated dorm rooms where whites are not allowed. As a matter of fact, there are some community rooms, communal gathering spots and dormitories where white people are not allowed to congregate. Now, look, you can talk about racism till you're blue in the face, but the reality in America right now is that white people specifically are being targeted. But I don't think this is the ultimate end game of these radicals in charge of our education system. No. I think the whites are the useful tools here, the puppet, because the broader story here is they want a race war. They want to pit the white man against the black man, against the brown man. This is part of a much more nefarious, ugly scheme. And we've got to call it out. And the good news here is that conservatives and Republicans have always been on the right side of history, whether it was ending slavery in America, whether it was fighting for civil rights in America. The Republicans were leading the charge. It's always been the Democrats who've been fighting against all of this stuff. It's always been the Democrats who defend the KKK. I mean, look at President Biden. He delivered the eulogy at the funeral for Senator Robert Byrd, an avowed member of the Klan. You say, well, Todd, wait a second here. Robert Byrd renounced his membership. Well, so did Nathan Bedford Forrest, but they're digging up that guy's body because that's not good enough. So if it's not good enough for Bedford Forrest, it's not good enough for Robert Byrd. The guy was a member of the Klan. That's the cold, hard, unvarnished truth. The fact of the matter is Joe Biden's son is clearly a racist. And by the way, have you noticed that earlier this week, I believe it was Monday or Tuesday, when word came out about Hunter Biden's emails where he was using the N-word, not just once or twice, it was like every other word. All sorts of horrible racist language. Do you know? Not once has CNN reported on this news. Not once has the New York Times reported on this news. As a matter of fact, the New York Times actually went after and tried to destroy a young lady's career because she used that language. Yet not a word about Hunter Biden. Do you see what's going on here? The mainstream media, their indignation is rather selective when it comes to calling people racist and calling out racist behavior. But again, we'll get into that a little bit later on. But I want to go back to this critical race theory, because this is all about putting white people in their place. But there's also another component of this, and it is directed at black Americans. Because under critical race theory, black Americans are always the victim, always the victim. And that's starting to irritate a lot of black parents who don't want to raise their kids to be victims. They want their kids to be raised to claim their American dream. So there was a parent, and look, we're gonna play some audio from two different parents. And I wanted to get to this story yesterday, but we didn't have time. There is a woman who escaped from communist China who came here to this country. And she laid it all out at a school board meeting. And she said, wait, there's something not right here. And this mom in Virginia, she tore into this school board and said, you people need to understand what critical race theory is all about.
I'm very alarmed about what's going on in our school. You are now teaching, training our children to be social justice warriors and to loathe our country and our history. Growing up in Mao's China, all this seemed very familiar. The communist regime used the same critical theory to divide people. The only difference is they use class instead of race. During the Cultural Revolution, I witnessed students and teachers again turn against each other. We changed school names to be politically correct. We were taught to denounce our heritage. The Red Guards destroy anything that is not communist. Old statues, books, and anything else. We are also encouraged to report on each other, just like the Student Equity Ambassador Program and the Bias Reporting System. This is indeed the American version of the Chinese Communist, the Chinese Cultural Revolution. The critical race theory has its roots in cultural Marxism. It should have no place in our schools.
This is a brave woman. But remember what I told you, that critical race theory, everything that's happening in America, it goes right back to what's happening in our public schools. And many of you say, and I know I hear it all the time, you say, Todd, my kids are graduated. I don't want to go to any more school board meetings. I don't want to go to any schools. I'm just paying my tax money like a good American citizen. Folks, that kind of thinking is going to lead us to communism. You better wake up. You better understand that what's happening in your town matters. Your tax dollars matter. And you just heard this sweet lady here talking to the school board in Virginia, and she said, just like the communist Chinese, she said, what did the communist Chinese do? They destroyed the heritage. What's happening in America right now? Our heritage is literally being turned to rubble. They're digging up the body of a Confederate war general in Memphis, Tennessee, for God's sakes. They're burning our books and banning our books. I mean, how many times have we talked about this over the past 4 years together? We're talking about Little House on the Prairie. We're talking about To Kill a Mockingbird. We're talking about Huckleberry Finn. We're talking about, most recently, Dr. Seuss. They're banning books. She also said in communist China, guess what else they did? They started renaming things. And what's happening here in the United States of America? Anyone remotely associated with Confederacy or owning a slave back in the day, their name is now not welcome. It's on the blacklist, the banned list. Look, Washington and Lee College right now, they had this huge debate over whether or not to rename the school named after George Washington and Robert E. Lee. They're renaming our schools. And as she just said, they're reporting students. How many times have we heard reports now that they're telling kids, spy on your parents. Find out what they know. Find out if they own guns. Report it back to us. They're turning your kids against you, America. So the question is, what are you doing about this in your local community? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Live show blog up and running over at toddstearns.com. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Stearns.
So I was trying to find a part for my Cadillac the other day, but instead of going down to the auto store, I went online to rockauto.com and I saved a ton of money. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for the professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, just like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require membership or an account to log in. The best part about it, RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And here's what I also want you to do. Write Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that I sent you to rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Yeah, so I'm pumped up about this. I say good for that lady over in Virginia for going to the school board meeting and speaking out. And folks, that's what we've got to do. Can you imagine every school board across America? You folks listening to us right now, KWAM, Memphis, Tennessee, go to your school board meeting, get in line to speak, and give them a piece of your mind. But Todd, I don't have any kids. You know what? It doesn't matter. You're paying for that. You're paying for that. And I'll be darned if I'm going to have my tax money used to destroy America. And a lot of other people feel the same way. There's another piece of audio I want you to hear. This time from an African-American mom. So you heard this from the lady from communist China who came to America. Now I want you to hear the other side of this coin, because, again, it's two-pronged. Yes, they're trying to put white people in their place and send them to the back of the bus. But they're also trying to make blacks an established victim group. Take a listen to Cut 8.
I'm very alarmed about what's going on in our school. You are now teaching, training our children to be social justice.
Okay, that's not it. Let's stop that, please. Thank you. All right, we'll try to hunt down that information. We do have it. All right, let's listen.
Just coming off of May 31st, marking the 100 years of the Tulsa riots, it is sad that we are even contemplating something like critical race theory, where children will be separated by their skin color and deemed permanently oppressors or oppressed in 2021. That is not teaching the truth, unless you believe that whites are better than blacks. CRT is not racial sensitivity or simply teaching unfavorable American history or teaching Jim Crow history. CRT is deeper and more dangerous than that. CRT, in its outworking today, is a teaching that there is a hierarchy in society where white, male, heterosexual, able-bodied people are deemed the oppressor, and anyone else outside of that status is oppressed. That's why we see corporations like Coca-Cola asking their employees to be less white, which is ridiculous. I don't know about you, but telling my child or any child that they are in a permanent oppressed status in America because they are black is racist. And saying that white people are automatically above me, my children, or any child is racist as well. Our ancestors, white, black, and others, hung, bled, and died right alongside each other to push America towards that more perfect union. If this continues, we will look back and be responsible for the dismantling of the greatest country in the world by reverting to teaching hate and that race is a determining factor on where your destiny lies. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Good for you, ma'am. Good for you. And we need more people like this. I want to be able to play these sound bites for the next year as we have more people willing to stand up. And I'm wondering how many of you in this audience are willing to say, you know what, Todd, I got a lot going on, but I'm going to take time out of my schedule to get out there and go to the next school board meeting. This is about the country. This is about the future of our nation, ladies and gentlemen. And if we just turn over the public schools to the Marxist, then it's over. Now, I'm telling you, some of you live in radicalized school districts, and there's no other choice but to get your kid out into a private school or a home school. And I completely get that. As a matter of fact, I believe that the best option of all is to homeschool your child. Why leave that to somebody else? I mean, let's be honest. Why would you allow your child to be indoctrinated by a leftist? We're going to open up the phones here. Got to take a break first, but we're going right to the phones. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. By now, you've all heard me talking about MyPillow and my good friend Mike Lindell. What an incredible product he has created for America. Those MyPillows never go flat. You can wash them, you can dry them as many times as you want, and they still maintain their shape. And you want to know why? Made in the good old U.S. of A. And now, for a limited time, Mike is offering his premium MyPillows for his lowest price ever. You can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98. The regular price, $69.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. All MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So go right now to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use the promo code STARNS. You are going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and the MyPillow Towel Set. Or you can call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. Heck yeah, folks, I'm telling you. I am excited today because we need people standing up. I see people across this country that are listening to this radio program and they're saying, Todd, it disgusts me what these Democrats, what these leftists are doing to our country. And I am so excited to be able to stand up and fight back. And you know what, folks? This is where we're organizing. We are on the front lines of this fight every single day. It is an honor to fight alongside of you and to share with you and equip you with information you need to fight the good fight. Well, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Let's start in beautiful Chattanooga, Tennessee. Gary, listening to us on Nuga Radio. Gary, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Star. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to, I guess, throw another log on the fire for you. For the last 8 years, I've been working in public schools, and one of the things I've discovered is the number of dropouts that we're having each year, every 9 months in our public schools across the nation. The number right off the education.org is going to give you about 1.7, just a hair under 1.8 million kids dropping out of our public schools. They drop out between the 10th and 11th grade. And another thing I discovered, just simply by Googling this question, what's the cost of a dropout? The cost of a dropout is about $362,000 per student for the city they're residing in or hanging out in. And that cost is derived from food stamps, health care, incarceration, all the things that they're going to need over their lifetime. So this has been going on, I'm going to guess, severely going on for the past 30 years. It's something you never hear anybody talk about, is the number of dropouts. And the number that they're reporting that you can see, I've been told, is a number that's not anywhere near correct, but because they're moving these kids into alternative schools. They're moving those kids out. The first time they get a whiff of a kid possibly dropping out, they start looking at ways to move that kid out of their system so it doesn't affect their numbers.
Gary, I want to ask you a question here, Gary. Let me jump in here because this is slightly off topic, but I want to ask you about the public schools in Chattanooga. Are they doing what they're supposed to be doing, or have they started to embrace critical race theory and this radical sex and gender education?
I don't know if they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, but I can tell you this. The last time I looked at their proficiency number, which is another subject no one likes to talk about, the truancy in Chattanooga is running 44% to 48% per year. That means half of the students are failing, right at half of the students are failing or truant, which truancy leads to dropout. Dropout leads to crime because they have to turn to some way to survive. Hamilton County is probably the Bible Belt of America, and our truancy rate is running 44% to 48%. And that's right out of the Chattanooga Times free press.
Well, Gary, the problem here, Gary, is that moms and dads are not doing their jobs. I mean, if you've got a kid that's not in school, you have a responsibility as a parent to make sure your child is in that classroom, even if you have to go and physically sit in that classroom with your child. That is your number one responsibility as a parent, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, many parents in some of these larger cities are not doing their jobs. And that's why you have kids hanging out on street corners, wandering around neighborhoods at midnight, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Gary, appreciate the call. Let's go to Gainesville, Georgia. Tom, listening to us on WDUN. Hey, Tom, what's up?
Hey, thank you for continuing to hammer on this topic, Todd. God bless you.
Well, Tom, thank you. You know, before you get into that, Tom, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. But honest to goodness, I mean, we've got conservative talk radio. We are it. We're the only people who have a clue about this. And unfortunately, within the world of conservative talk radio, there are not that many people who want to talk about taking back your local public school. But that's where the fight is. It's not Washington, D.C. right now. It is your local public school. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. So when your child comes, all parents, you know, that are normal or whatever, what do they say about their children? I just want them to be happy. So when the child comes home from these indoctrination sessions and they're afraid or they're crying or they're upset or they're whatever, pardon the bronchitis, the parents, I would sit them down and say to them, who loves you on this planet more than anybody else? Mommy and hopefully daddy together, hopefully. Does the school love you as much as we do? Does the teacher love you as much as the people who brought you into the world, nourished you since you were a baby, took care of you when you were sick, put food on the table and looked after you, tucked you into bed, read a story, whatever was necessary as a parent? Who would love you more, Johnny, Susie, Jimmy, us or someone else? Okay, now once that point has been made, then you would say, do you feel like we're trying to make you happy as parents? Do you feel like they are trying to make you happy as a child? And if they're not trying to make you happy, then what is it about what they're saying that makes you feel bad? And why do you think they're doing that? That to me is a basic fundamental conversation that I hope and believe would be very profound, and it needs to be oft repeated, as Telly Savalas used to say, who loves you, baby? You know, parents say this over and over and ask the question, why would you listen to people who are telling you something different from those who love you the most and will always love you more than anybody else except your creator?
Well, it's a good thought there, Tom. And unfortunately, you have teachers that are turning kids against their parents. And a lot of this has to do. I'm sorry, what now?
This has to be done preemptively.
Yeah, of course it does.
Regularly.
Of course it does. But again, this, as I said, this goes back to mom and dad doing what they're supposed to be doing. Tom, appreciate the call, and thank you for listening. 844-747-8868. It's a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. Got an angry piece of mail yesterday from a listener named Shelley. Shelley spells her name C-H-E-L-L-I. And she's probably going to, she's a very angry woman. I want to read this to you. This is great. She's very upset because I'm talking about the Southern Baptist Convention. There is a massive meeting of Southern Baptists next week, very important, in Nashville. And normally they have, I'm not kidding, about 3,000 or 4,000 people that go to these annual meetings. They're expecting upwards of 20,000 people. This thing is huge. And there is a literal fight for the soul of the Southern Baptist Convention by these woke critical race theory supporters and evangelical Christians who just want to do what the Bible says. And you say, well, why is this so important? It's important because this is the bedrock of who we are as a nation. As a matter of fact, a little bit later on, we're going to have a guy named Mike Stone, who's running to be the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, a good guy, and he's going to be on the program a little bit later today. But this woman says, I have followed the Todd Starnes page for a while now. Today I came across an endorsement post for the Southern Baptist Convention. I was unaware your page is a Southern Baptist Convention page. Well, it's not. I just happen to be a Southern Baptist. Shelley. I proceeded to comment on the fact that I didn't realize this is a Southern Baptist Convention back page, and I felt that Todd's post alienated a large amount of your followers. Okay, so what, Shelley? It's my page. Am I not allowed to have an opinion on my page, Shelley, with a C? Sadly, many Christian conservatives felt compelled to bully me because I attacked Todd on his page. Yes, Shelley, because they're fans and friends. And when you say something nasty about me, Shelley, with a C, people are going to respond. I was even called a troll by a woman professing prayers were needed for people like me. Oh, so wait a second. So she says people are attacking her because they say they're praying for her, because she is a troll. I am sorry I am not interested in funding the Southern Baptist Convention, and I did not find it good form to use your platform for a personal political endorsement. I do care. Unlike a lot of those commenting, I feel personal political endorsements, whether they are religious or political, are wrong for the type of business you have. Does she not realize that I'm in the business of endorsing things and talking about things and having an opinion on things? I mean, this is a moron. But it's important for you to understand and hear from these morons. Shelley says, I feel personal endorsement. I've already read that part. I feel it to be an abuse of power and against the guidelines of Facebook for you to endorse people. But I'm not reporting you. You know what, Shelley? Go ahead and report me. What do I care? How many times have I been reported, Grace Baker? What, 782,000?
Yeah, I think I've lost count.
All right.
Also, if her name is spelled with a C, would that not be like Chelly?
Chello.
Are you sure it's Shelly? C-H is cha-cha.
Moreover, I do hope you and your staff pray for those who are bullying folks in your comments. Well, Shelly, if you don't want to get bullied, don't post nasty stuff, lady. I also hope you consider an article on the rise of cyberbullying. What happened to the Be Kind Online movement? I do hope this message finds you well, and I hope the Lord blesses you with his heart.
Can I give her a tip?
Yes. Shelley, pay attention. Yes, Grace, go ahead. Help us out here.
Get off of Facebook.
That's it. Just go away. Just, yeah. And then she's demanding to know. Oh, this gets further. It gets worse. She's demanding to know if I make money off of my Facebook page or if I'm receiving any funding from the Southern Baptist Convention. Shelley, I want to say this in the spirit of Christian love. It's none of your damn business, ma'am. None of your business.
Okay. Also, in the time it took her probably to write this to you, she could have done something productive with her life. This is pointless. You're in a business. I don't understand. Yes, you have to make money. Duh.
Yeah.
Just like in general.
Now I'm in a bad mood. I shouldn't have read. Shelley, yes, go troll someone else. By the way, folks, you've heard me talk about MyPillow. I love MyPillow. Love Mike Lindell. What a great man. And, you know, as much as people, you know, I bet Mike Lindell gets a lot of trolls like this one, because she is. She's a leftist troll. But poor Mike Lindell, this guy, they want to destroy this man. And that's why I think it's so vitally important for us to stand up and fight for Mike with everything we've got. And the way I see it, you can't have enough MyPillows around the house. I'm just telling you. There's some things you need to know about what Mike is doing. He is now offering his premium MyPillows at the lowest price ever. And it's not just the pillows. But by the way, you can get a queen-size premium MyPillow. That's the one I have. For $29.98. I mean, that's an incredible deal. Normally, you're going to pay $70 for that pillow. Not anymore. $29.98 just for our listeners. You're going to save $40. If you want a king-size pillow, that's only going to cost you $5 more. Unbelievable deals. And every single MyPillow product, it comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's the kind of man he is. Made in America products. Made right here in the U.S. of A. by American citizens. Our fellow countrymen are putting together these pillows. You've got the Giza Dream bed sheets. You've got the mattress toppers and the MyPillow towel sets. All of those, you're going to get some deep discounts, but there's only one way for you to do that. You've got to use the promo code STARNS. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listeners square, and use the promo code STARNS. Now, if you want to call, you can do that too. If you don't want to go online, just pick up the phone, call 800-839-8506, and use the promo code STARNS. That's 800-839-8506, and use the promo code STARNS. Got to take a break here, folks, but before we do, we're going to toss out a trivia question for this hour. In the state of Georgia, it is illegal to eat what with a fork? There's one thing you're not allowed to eat with a fork in the state of Georgia. If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hey, coming up, Congressman Andy Biggs is going to drop by. Crazy stuff happening at the border. I do want to go to the phones, though. Today is Friday, and I want to play a little bit of trivia. Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Oh, I want to go to Jefferson, Georgia. Evelyn is listening to us on WDUN. Evelyn, how are you on this fine day?
Doing wonderful, and it's so great to talk with you, Todd.
Well, you are kind to
say
that.
I love your show.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Evelyn. I appreciate that. Now, Evelyn, this may be a no-brainer for you guys in Georgia, but I want to put this question out there. In the state of Georgia, it is illegal to eat what food with a fork? What is the answer?
It is chicken. You might get arrested if you do in Gainesville.
Yes, Evelyn, you are absolutely correct. It is illegal to eat fried chicken in the state of Georgia. According to a proclamation passed in 1961 in Gainesville, which, by the way, is the, poultry capital of the world, I believe. They'll toss you in the slammer, the pokey, if you eat fried chicken with a fork. Evelyn, I think they do the same thing in Brooklyn, New York, if you eat pizza with a fork. So.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm not in New York, thank goodness.
Well, good for you, Evelyn. There's no, you know what? You have everything you need there in North Georgia. There's really not even a reason to go to Atlanta, so just enjoy it.
I do, yes. I'm looking forward to your book being in the bookstores here so I can get one of them.
Well, Evelyn, we're going to do you one better, Evelyn. I'm going to send you a signed copy of my brand new book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl, and you're going to be getting that in the mail.
Are?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. My best friend is a writer.
Is that right?
And her name is Evelyn.
Is that right?
I don't know if you know. Yes. I think she met you at some writer's conference in North Carolina a couple of years ago.
Oh, the Blue Ridge Christian Writers Conference. A lot of great ladies at that book writing conference.
Yes.
Evelyn, we're going to put you on hold. I hate to do this, Evelyn, but we're coming up on a break here, and Grace will get all your information. Folks, we're gonna toss out a couple of more trivia questions throughout the day. You know what? I'll do one now. How many planets are in the solar system? How many planets are in the solar system? If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's common sense conservative commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, America. Hope you're doing great out there. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour two of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. For those of you watching us on Liftable TV, we want to say welcome to all of you folks. Facebook Live, and you'll notice that we have a copy. The official copies of my next book just arrived, the advance copies. And today we're giving some of you folks an opportunity to win a signed copy of Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. The book will be in bookstores in just about a week and a half or so. So we're very excited about that, and we hope that you go to the Todd Stearns store. That's toddstearns.com. Engage in a little bit of capitalism and buy a couple of copies of this book, and I'd be more than honored to sign them for you. All right, I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. We have a great American patriot, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus from the great state of Arizona, Congressman Andy Biggs. Congressman, hope you're doing good today.
Todd, I'm doing great, and I hope you are too.
You know, I am, Congressman. I'm feeling pretty good for a couple of reasons. Number one, and I know I'm slightly off topic here, Congressman, but I'm excited that moms and dads across this country are finally pushing back at these critical race theory lessons that are being shoved down the throats of our kids across this country. And I think that is a good thing, and I think that says good news for 2022 and the Republicans.
You're exactly right. I mean, I saw the lady up in New York. She was brilliant, I thought, did a great job. Then you're starting to see people all over the country. In my state, down in Tucson, they're fighting back. They're pushing back. It's important, and it's become a top five issue for Republicans is to understand. They're starting to understand fully that these institutions have been indoctrinating their kids, and that's, if there's anything good that came out of the COVID, and there wasn't much, one of them is that parents got to feel and see firsthand what is happening in the public schools, the traditional public schools, and it turns out a lot of them don't like what's been offered there and what's been happening there. That's great.
You know, Congressman, you look at what's happening with the culture of our country there on Capitol Hill. You have people like Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and others that are not just espousing anti-Semitic viewpoints. I mean, this goes beyond that. And now we understand Ilhan Omar has issued a clarification about her comments equating the United States and Israel to the Taliban. But I don't. Is that really good enough, sir? And what are you hearing from Democrats who might, you know, disagree with Omar on this?
Well, first of all, it's outrageous, the comments that Ilhan Omar made, and you know what? A simple apology saying, "Let me clarify, I wasn't saying what I said." No, you said that, but there's a pattern, a history, and it's gone on and on and on and on, and she's got to be stuck with it. And then this bogus argument that Rashida Tlaib made that, oh, if you're an Arab woman in a Muslim woman in Congress, you cannot have you don't have First Amendment rights. Well, wait a second. Sure you do. All of us have First Amendment rights. And when you say something that's outrageous, that's pernicious to the society as a whole, which is xenophobic, hateful, and anti-Semitic, guess what? We all have the opportunity to condemn that speech. That's part of what free speech is about. It's debate. And you own it. You said it, you own it. And I have to tell you, I don't think many of her Democrat colleagues want to continue owning this anti-Semitic trend and this hate toward America trend, a country that took her in as a refugee. I mean, it is hateful for her to say what she said.
I mean, at some point, you just have to, I don't know if there's a polite way to say this, but, you know, Congresswoman, if you really hate America that much, you are free to leave. I mean, you are allowed to do that as an American citizen. You can go live somewhere else.
Yeah, and think about this, too. This is a country that you do have Rashida Tlaib. You do have Ilhan Omar and AOC and a bunch of radical leftists who have been elected into the United States Congress, the highest legislative body in this country, and they're given a platform to say and speak what they want to say. And you're right. If you don't like the country, it's hard to square that circle, isn't it? That this country that has given you all these opportunities, and you sit as a governor, if you will, in this country. You're one of the people in charge of governing this country. Wow. If you don't like this country, then maybe there's a different island for you.
It's exactly. And you're right. People are flocking to this country to escape all sorts of horrors. They're not flocking to anywhere else except the United States of America, the most exceptional nation on the planet. And that's why I'm so glad to see not just moms and dads, but folks like yourself up on Capitol Hill, Congressman, that are willing to stand up for America. I want to move real quick, and I want to be respectful of your time. Word came out this past week that, once again, President Trump was proven right, that he did not order police to clear out Lafayette Park, that he was not there to do that for a photo op. It did not happen. And Congressman, I'm wondering how many more shoes are dropping here, where you have the mainstream media, you have your fellow congressmen, Democrats, that once again were caught in lies.
Well, I mean, Todd, it's become so routine that we know that next month there's going to be another big one. I mean, we don't know which one it's going to be, but President Trump, he was castigated and maligned and lied about by the media and my colleagues in Congress. Don't forget, these people tried to impeach him twice, tried to remove him from office twice, and the second one was total fabrication. And these guys are still living on that, and it's disgusting. But President Trump was, you know, he was vindicated once again, and I tell you, it's going to happen again and again and again. Because you can't continue. Sooner or later, the untruths are going to will out. They're going to come out and be exposed, I should say. And we'll all see it. And you're not surprised. I'm not surprised. I have to just tell you this quick anecdote. I was with a member of Congress. We're walking, and somebody from a CNN comes up to me and asks me a question, and I say, "Well, I'm not going to comment on that right now." And my friend says to me, "Andy, that isn't the answer. Is not to comment to him. This is the answer. You are liars and fake news, and you don't tell the truth, and so I can't talk to you." And I think this is being borne out, is it not, in all the vindication that President Trump's getting?
I love it. I love it. And honestly, Congressman, it's thanks to you. And we don't blow smoke on this radio show, but I really do have great respect for you. I mean, they throw a lot of stuff at you and your colleagues on the House Freedom Caucus, and yet you guys, every single day, you get up there and you fight for the American people. And Congressman, I just want to say on behalf of our audience, we have a lot of brand new listeners in Phoenix. I just want to say thank you for what you're doing.
Hey, Todd, we'll keep fighting. I know you're going to keep fighting, and this is a country that's worth fighting for, isn't it?
Oh, yes, sir, it is. Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Hope you have a great weekend. Congressman Andy Biggs, ladies and gentlemen, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus on Capitol Hill, fighting for you every single day. All right, we're going to go to a break here. Before we do, I'm going to toss out another trivia question. I'm telling you, I'm feeling a little frisky today. Grace Baker, and we're going to give out some cool stuff. And I got to tell you, this new book, you are going to love it. The reviews are already coming in, and people are, I think they're shocked, first of all, that it's just really a happy book. You know, it's not about politics. This is all about inspiration.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice change of pace, I bet, in terms of writing it, right?
Well, the last book, I had the U.S. Capitol burning in flames.
Yes.
And that was on the cover. And this one, you have a nice big thing of buttermilk biscuits.
I know. Hey, you've got diverse taste.
I love it. All right, here we go. This is, wow, there are some difficult questions here, including one that's fairly disgusting for the lunch hour, which we may or may not get to that. What was the name of the Godfather in the TV movie, my favorite TV movie, by the way? What was the name of the Godfather? If you know, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. What was the name of the Godfather? This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. You know what? Let's get the business at. I want to go to Jenny in Georgia. Hang tight for a second, Jenny. But Scott in Conway, Arkansas, wants to answer our trivia question. Scott, how are you doing today? How are things in beautiful Conway, Arkansas?
Stopped, and it is beautiful, and I am proud of you the way you stood up to the gentleman yesterday on the Vacation Bible School banner.
Can you believe that? This is, again, at Fort Sill in Oklahoma, where the Military yes. Religious Freedom Foundation has declared war. You know what, Scott, that reminds me, Scott, I got more hate mail from somebody who said, "You sound just like Dan Bongino screaming at that man." I said, well, sometimes you got to holler.
Don't get me started on that, because that's who they're playing now in your slot, and I want you back.
Well, I wouldn't have shared that with the audience, Scott, but we want to get back on KARN, too.
I like Dan, but I like you better.
Yeah,
like,
thank you.
Hey, it's the way it is.
It's true, but hang tight. They still carry our show on the weekend, and we appreciate that, as well as my daily commentary. And, Scott, we're still, we made a promise to the good folks over at KARN that we were going to do a book signing, and we're going to live up to that agreement, and we'll let you guys know about that. But let's get you the trivia question here. The name of the Godfather. What was the name of the Godfather?
I didn't have a chance to look it up, so I went right to I have you on speed dial. So I'm going to say Don Corleone.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Vito Corleone.
They called him Vito, too, but it was Vito Don Corleone is what I remember. But I kept saying, is it Vito or is it Don? I'm going Don, you know, because it's easier. So.
The Don.
All right, great. Yeah,
congratulations, yeah. Scott. You are going to win a great prize package. We're going to put you on hold, and Grace is going to get your info. And thank you for the kind words, and we certainly love all of our listeners. By the way, we have some exciting news, adding two or three brand-new radio stations to our lineup starting on Monday. So we're going to be adding even more listeners, and we're very excited about that. All right, let's get back to the phones, 844-747-8868. Jenny, listening to us on WDUN in Georgia. Jenny, what's on your mind today?
Oh, first of all, I love your show. I try not to ever miss it. And I went to the mailbox one day, and there was a package. And guess what?
What's that?
It was from Todd Starn, Culture Jihad.
So,
and I want to thank you for that.
You are so well, thank
another
you.
Thing, and another thing, Gainesville's a beautiful place to live, but I lived up in Northern Virginia, and it used to be a fabulous place. I have four sons, and they all went to West Springfield High School, and they were star athletes, and had the best basketball coach ever. And it was just, and the teachers were wonderful. And now it's turned into a liberal haven. And it just makes me sick to hear about all the stuff that is happening in that Fairfax County.
Now, well, and Jenny, that is one of the largest school districts in America and really one of the most influential, mainly because it's in the suburbs of Washington. So you have a lot of very influential, but quite frankly, very liberal people living there who are members of the deep state, members of the swamp that President Trump has been fighting.
Well, see, they didn't used to be. The people weren't those liberal people. They were all wonderful people, and they didn't. I don't know what changed it, but I used to want to move back up there, but I visited there.
No. Jenny, you're in God's country right now. That's a beautiful part of America where you live. So I'll tell you, it's a great place to retire to as well. Jenny, thank you.
Well, Georgia is fabulous.
Yes. Just keep moving past Atlanta and you'll do just fine. Jenny, thank you for the call and thank you for listening. And I'm so glad you got your copy of Culture Jihad. So I've always wondered, Grace, so you guys just work after the show then, I guess.
Well, we have an intern.
Oh, I didn't realize that. So we have an intern. Do we pay the intern?
Yes.
Really? Jeez,
well, doesn't Luke. Just do that. You know, he does other stuff here.
Yeah, but
too.
Internships are supposed to be
hard.
I don't
even know if you know, internship is the word. Oh, trust me, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot of books.
I was debating whether, yes, it is a lot of books. I was debating whether or not to play this audio. It is controversial. Grace, you sent this to me.
Oh, no.
And you said it was, at first I thought it was a woman attacking a bear. I misread
it. Well, we have had a dog mom attack a bear.
That I remember that, and I thought, holy cow, now the bears are going after human babies.
No, I found this and thought it was relevant in what we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks.
About the schools and moms and dads standing up.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so we should probably warn people that there is some language here. You know, it's anatomical language.
Yeah.
So that you would hear in biology class.
Yeah.
But it's important because you need to understand, and Grace, I get, and Avery, you guys know that we have a lot of sweet church-going ladies. And when they hear me say something like, you know, I said damn earlier, and I got an email about that. Todd, you're a good Christian boy. You shouldn't be using I know, but every now and again I get riled up. And, you know, we're going to get an email. I guarantee you we'll get complaints. Todd, you can't be saying words like that. That's just inappropriate.
Well, in this case, it's the truth.
And there's a reason we do that. Because these are the words that the children are hearing.
Exactly. Five-year-olds.
So let's take a listen to this mama bear at the school board meeting.
And she came to your school when she procures bids for ISU with construction and came to your school and spoke to your staff for two straight days. Why did she do that? This is why she did that. This is why she did that. To make sure that when our students want to know whether or not they have a vagina or a penis, they have pictures from your staff to be able to help them. They don't have enough sex. They don't have enough anal sex. They need adults to tell them how to masturbate. And what I call that is... So here's what I'm asking you. You have a hard time hearing this from me, but this is for 10 years old and up, and this bill was passed for 5-year-olds. And you have a hard time me sitting here telling you the words anal sex, masturbation. That's hard for you, or the time's up? Because the time's not really up. I don't believe you, Mr. Wiley, that my time is up. But I'm going to end with this. I'll close with this, because this was too much for you, I can tell right now. And that's why you're cutting me off. But last time I said, you know what? Critical race theory. Little girl in the back was laughing every single time Megan said something, because white people oppress black people, right? Isn't your principal black? Isn't your mayor black?
There you go, folks. Fired up mama. We need more of that. Every single school board in America, they need to hear. You're right. They're indoctrinating your kids. They want them to be perverts and they want them to be racist. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Grace Avery, I have to share this with you. This is sort of funny.
Ooh.
So many of you know that I've been having the, I had the fracture, the broken foot.
Yeah.
And I have been hobbled, and it's not getting better. And it's been a bit of a problem. So I have, so anyway, they're working through whatever is wrong. And I'm not a good patient.
Really?
No, I'm a horrible patient.
I wonder why.
So anyway, and the way it works with my ortho, one of the best orthopedic surgeons in the area. And so, but we do the text messaging. And so before the last commercial break, this was during the interview with Andy Biggs, I got a text message because I had to have another MRI done on this.
Oh, no.
And so I said, just checking on the MRI to see how things are.
Yeah.
And so I get a note back that says, so the ankle MRI shows an abundance of trouble. That's the diagnosis.
Wonderful. What?
An abundance of trouble.
I mean, isn't that you in general, though?
I just got to, you know what it is? I've got to be careful where I put my foot. You know, that's...
You got to make sure it's not in your mouth.
No. Or up the backside of somebody.
That too.
So then he sends me a text, or he sends me a voicemail, which I was listening to. Those of you watching us on Facebook, you saw this happen in real time. And I didn't get to finish hearing it, but I got to the part where he said, well, we've been able to narrow it down to 4 or 5 key issues.
Oh, my. What did you do to your foot?
I don't know. I'm trying to exercise. That's the problem.
Oh, it's the exercise's fault. It says walks at Shelby Farms.
It is. It's bad enough that I have sort of gone like meat free. So I don't want to use the other word. I don't want to say the V word.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to lose my Southern street cred. But this has been guys, I don't know if our listening audience, I don't know if you guys go through these things, but this is really tedious.
Oh, yeah. I've gone on keto before, and that was very tedious. So I understand being on a restrictive diet. I did that for a couple months.
The injuries are tedious.
Oh, the injuries.
The fact that I can't eat red meat is horrific.
That's fair.
And at some point, I mean, if this had happened in New York City, I could have, you know what, that would have been easier to deal with because there aren't many barbecue joints. So I probably could have given up red meat a lot easier in New York City.
Yes.
But for the good Lord to move me back home to Memphis, Tennessee, and to allow me to purchase a radio station that is within walking distance from not one, not two, but three barbecue joints, and then to announce the good Lord to say, but Todd, you're not allowed to eat meat anymore. Come on, Lord,
now,
that's
Todd,
not fair.
You said they're
that's
within
fair,
walking
Lord.
Distance. Well, that's why the Lord said I'm going to, you know, break. Hurt his foot. Right. Then he can't walk to the barbecue places. He's not worried about it.
It's terrible. Yep. It's terrible.
See, God has a plan.
He works in mighty and mysterious ways.
Very mysterious sometimes.
Very mysterious. So you know what I did? This is how bad it is. I was eating those little baby carrots.
Oh,
that's what
no.
I was snacking on yesterday.
That's like what I give Merlo for a snack.
And Grace, go stand in the corner.
She has to be on a certain diet herself. She can relate.
Oh, my goodness.
You and the dog could share snacks.
Dog. Yeah.
So I'm eating the carrots, and I'm drinking unsweet tea, and I'm really hating my life.
It's like, wow, I've hit a low point in my life.
Yeah.
It's pretty horrible.
A low point right now.
I had to stop watching Triple D, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Oh, no, it's a terrible show to watch when you're hungry.
I know, right? So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, this is horrible. So I go to I have been to parts of the supermarket I did not know existed.
Have you gone into Whole Foods?
Well, so I can't bring myself to do that.
Okay, what about Fresh Market? There's a place called Fresh Market around here. It's really nice.
So I go back to the fridge, and I open up, and I see I still have my Sweet Baby Ray's because that's, you know, great barbecue. Mm-hmm. If you can't make your own.
Every Southerner has that.
You
got to
have Sweet Baby Ray's.
Yep.
And it's interesting. The carrots taste a whole lot better when you dip them in the Sweet Baby Ray's.
I have something to tell you, though, Todd, you're not going to like. That sauce. Mm-hmm. Has a lot of sugar.
No, but it's barbecue sauce, so it's a sauce. Sauces are okay.
But it has a lot of sugar in it. That's okay?
Don't tell me that. No, I'm not eating sugar-free barbecue sauce.
They exist.
All I'm saying is all of these problems started because I was going to exercise to lose weight. I was perfectly happy the way I was.
And then the exercise hit.
So, I don't know who I blame.
I think you need some new walking shoes, number one.
Why me, Lloyd? Why me?
Hey, Merlo doesn't eat red meat either, so.
I feel like one of those Old Testament prophets, you know, hiding in a cave.
I also don't want people to think I'm raising a vegan dog.
Oh, you don't want that.
No.
Yeah. You're going to have an unhappy dog.
No, she does eat some meat. It's just a Dalmatian thing.
The dog is going to bite you.
Yeah, no, she'd be pretty unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't
want
to
take
sick.
For my dog, Maggie, we recently had to put her on a bit of a diet because we thought she was getting fed a little bit too much.
Oh.
And so we feed her about one
bowl
of food
a day. Scraps.
Yeah, but then also, like, my dad actually gave her some barbecue the other day while I was eating some.
All that to say, by the way, do you guys realize both of your dogs are named with the letter M?
Yes.
Yes.
Maggie and Merlot.
That's why you need to get a dog. Letter M. Mm-hmm.
What would
Triple
I call?
M.
Maybe a dog. Maybe a dog's what you need.
Call my dog Sweet Baby Ray. Come here, Sweet Baby Ray. Come here, boy.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, put me on the prayer list, folks. I don't know what's going to happen.
Multiple prayer list.
Yes. All I can tell, I'm just dreading to hear the surgery word. I do not, and the reason why, Grace, you've seen my schedule for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It is insane. I can't keep up with it.
We're going, just in the matter of the next 3 weeks, we're going to be at the National Religious Broadcasters, the Southern Baptist Convention, CPAC, Young America's Foundation, and the Billy Graham Library.
Wow.
And it's just nuts. It's nuts.
And then the book tour. Did you mention that?
And then the book tour. Oh, thank you.
So much.
Unbelievable. All right.
Book tour is it? Mm-hmm. Plenty of barbecue restaurants as well.
Lord. Vegan food.
Lead me not into temptation.
All right. Here is your next trivia question. And I've gotten us so far off. We were going to get into Texas Governor Greg Abbott, which we will do after the break. But I do want to throw out another trivia question. The video game Super Mario. Which video game did Super Mario first appear in? The very first appearance of Super Mario, was it in Mortal Kombat, Sonic the Hedgehog, or Donkey Kong? Oh, I actually know the answer to this one. Give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
You know what I'm thinking about doing for Christmas this year? I think I'm getting everybody one of these thunderstorm air purifiers. You know, my family's very hard to get gifts for. And I have really enjoyed this thunderstorm air purifier that I got from Eden Pure. You are going to love it too, especially if you have problems like allergies, maybe the coughing, and you got the sneezing and the watery eyes. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier literally gets rid of all of that. So it really makes it enjoyable. You can actually open up the windows and enjoy the fresh air. And then, you know, every now and again, your home, especially if you have an older home, you get those sort of weird odors that just won't go away. And if you're like me, I'm not a big fan of the perfumey air fresheners. And so I tried out the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier, and it just wipes away all of those strange, weird odors. So here's what I want you to do. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Use the code word Todd when you check out. And if you do, they're going to give you some great discounts, and they're also going to throw in free shipping as well. So again, EdenPureDeals.com. Use the code word Todd, and I tell you, folks, you are going to have a great sneeze-free summer. All right, let's go to the phones here. The question of the hour, we want to know about the video game Super Mario. Let's go to Marie in beautiful North Carolina, listening to us on the Talk Station. Hi, Marie. I feel like I'm in a video game, Marie.
Yeah.
How are you today?
Doing fine, sir. How about you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for asking. All right, Marie, let's try to win you a prize here. The video game, we're talking about Super Mario, it actually appeared in another video game first. What was that video game?
Donkey Kong.
That's right.
Yes! It was. Marie, that's
too
all.
Too many quarters in the video game as a teenager.
Oh, my goodness. Right? You know, I bet Grace and Avery, they don't remember those days where you had to actually put a quarter in the video game machine to play.
I mean, I've done that at a vintage, you know, arcade place.
Marie, Grace just said vintage.
Then I'm vintage.
Well, if you're vintage, I'm vintage, Marie.
Those was a long time ago, I guess.
Right, remember that?
And actually, that was kind of a highlight, unusual thing back in the day. You could get to go do those things. So now everybody's got them in their hands.
Oh, they do. But I remember you had to go to the arcade, and you were always asking your parents for quarters, or you would go by the bank, and remember they would give you the big rolls of quarters, and you'd just stay there all day playing video games.
Oh. We didn't have video arcades into our area, so some of the stores would just have one stuck by the front door. So that was... We live out in the boonies, so that you just kind of dropped your quarter in and stood there and played as everybody walked by.
Those were the good old days, Marie. The good old days.
Yep.
All right, Marie, we're going to put you on hold, and Grace is going to get your info, and we're going to send you something from the Todd Starnes Radio Show Prize Closet. So thanks for playing. You know, Avery, I don't know if you ever had the joy. I know right now everybody I think today's video games are just less socially involved than they were back, you know, when we were growing up.
I would be willing to argue against that opinion.
Really?
I would be willing to say that they're a little bit more socially involved.
Today?
I mean, yeah, you're not... Yeah. the reason I say that is because we're not, you know, all gathered in an arcade, which I wish I could. I knew there were an arcade like down here in Gainesville that still was up and running, because that just sounds like a good fashion old time to me. But I would be willing to argue, because I play a lot of games online with multiple of my friends. And so I know that there are people who sometimes like can play video. Like, we're so connected online now that we can play with people over in Australia, and other people can be playing over in somewhere in Europe. Like, so I would be willing to argue that we are a little bit more socially connected.
Back in the day, you know, going to those video game arcades, you know, where you had to wait in the line, and then, you know, you'd gather around and watch your friends. People would kind of gather, especially like Pac-Man, and then you had Miss Pac-Man. Those were like the super cool big games. And then we had Frogger come along. And it was just, you know, this sense of community, which I get what you're saying, but I still think it's a different sense of being around people, because technically you're not physically around people.
Yeah, and when saying that, yes, you are. I would be willing to say that you're correct as well. But one of my good buddies, he's got like a retro, I can't remember what it's called, or just, you know, like a retro game set or whatever, where it's got loaded on, it's got Mrs. Pac-Man, Pac-Man,
vintage,
Galaga.
Vintage.
Vintage. Well, I'm not trying to upset some people or offend anybody by saying the word vintage. Antique is pushing
Keep
it,
up,
think,
Grace. But... Keep it up, Grace. Keep
it's Friday, what
it.
I got to lose.
Mm-mm. Yeah, Grace has been digging herself a pretty big hole this show today. So.
Continue, Avery.
Interesting story over at FoxNews.com, which has nothing to do with video games, but we talk about quarters and pennies. This
Bitcoin?
No, it's not Bitcoin. So there's a guy who owed child support. I got to read this to you. This is from Fox News. A Virginia father paid his last child support payment with 80,000 pennies.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
WTVR.
That many pennies in the world.
WTVR reported that the father literally dumped the pennies. He rented a trailer, put the pennies in the trailer, pulled in front of the house. This happened in Richmond, Virginia. And then he dumped the pennies on the front lawn.
Well, that's why we had a coin shortage last summer. He had them all.
Exactly. Turns out that the teenager, by the way, the teenager's name is Avery Sanford. No relation. So
zero relation.
Avery Sanford is 18 years old, hasn't... it's a she, too, by the way. She's a she.
Okay, brief sidebar, if I may.
Yes.
I have only met one other male Avery in my entire life. Every other person named Avery has been a female. And that's slightly bothered.
I've never met a girl named Avery.
So what is that? So I'm curious, have you had that conversation with your, you know, with your parents? Have they explained why they named you Avery?
I've talked to my mom about it. I mean, it's not like why did you name me this name or whatever. But
teenager angst.
Well, you just brought it up on national radio, so clearly it's an issue.
Your mom's probably listening. So
she probably is, and I'm probably going to get yet another text message.
Speaking
from her
of digging holes,
yeah, really, yeah. Avery, you're one to talk, buddy.
Well, I think it's a good name. I never would have thought
it is a good name.
I never connected Avery with a female name. It sounded like a guy's name to me.
That sounds like a guy's name.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying,
it's one of those.
It's a good name,
names, I guess.
Well, yeah. It's a unisex name. No, it's just a good, solid name. So I did. My question was, you know, were you named? Is there somebody in your family that you're named after? Or is this like a family name?
To the best of my knowledge, I am the first Avery in my family.
You see, I'm the third, and so what I find, I'm always interested in this because my grandfather, who was the first, he was senior. They named him Todd back in 1913.
Man.
Oh, wow.
I thought that was an uncommon name back in 1913.
Like, it's fairly common now.
There you go. So anyway, yeah. Avery Sanford hasn't spoken to her father in years, told the television station.
Quite the interest.
That it was really sort of offensive, and it was embarrassing. She said, yes. Yeah, of course. It's not just my mom he's trying to embarrass. It's also me and my sister, and it's upsetting that he didn't consider that before he did that. This could be why, and I don't want to get into family court here, but sounds to me like now we know why the missus divorced the mister.
I just want to say, you know, they say if you find penny on the ground, it's good luck, right? Well, what about 80,000 pennies?
The father told the TV station his emotions got the best of him, and he regrets the decision. Really?
That's not just a moment of heat and emotion. This is a very pre-planned thing. You rented a dump truck.
Seems to me, when you go to the teller and say, I need 80,000 pennies.
And a dump truck.
That's a clue.
What, he pay for the dump truck in pennies, too?
Probably credit card.
Yeah, for real.
I would say. Hey, folks, coming up next, we're going to be very honored to have with us Mike Stone, wants to be the next president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, we have a lot of Baptists in our audience here, and you may want to ask him a question. We're going to allow you to do that, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. Also, the national anthem, the Long Islanders, it went viral. We've got the video. And we've got the singer coming on our show. You're going to want to hear that interview as well. All coming up next on the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is the final hour of the final day of this broadcast week here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. And we're so delighted that you have decided to hang out with us. And hope it's a nice day wherever you are. It's going to be 100 degrees tomorrow here in Memphis, Tennessee. So thank God for air conditioning. Coming up a little bit later on, we've been telling you about this singer at the NHL game. It was the New York, was it the Long the Islanders out on Long Island, New York. And we're going to play this in just a little while. But when she started singing the national anthem, everybody in the arena just started belting it out. It was pretty impressive. The video's gone viral. You can see it on our website. That singer is going to be on the show in just a few moments, so you're going to want to hear that interview. Also, we're going to throw out some more trivia questions. That's coming up in just a few moments. But right now, I want to talk about an issue that is very important to this country, and it really is that important. It's the future direction of the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, unfortunately, over the years, the Southern Baptist Convention has become corrupted, has become infected with critical race theory. There have also been leaders within the denomination who really made a national name for themselves by attacking President Trump during the presidential campaign. And there is a fierce battle underway right now for control of the nation's largest non-Catholic denomination. As the Southern Baptist Convention goes, so goes the nation. That is my opinion. That is my estimation. That's my view of things. One of the individuals who is running for the presidency of the Southern Baptist Convention, he has been in the headlines over the past few days. Lots of accusations being hurled about, and we're going to ask him about those things. Pastor Mike Stone from the great state of Georgia. Pastor, good to have you with us today.
Todd, it's an honor to be back with you. Thank you for having me.
I want to start by asking a very simple question. Why is it that people on the other side of this equation are attacking you so ferociously?
Well, I think it's an example of high-power elites in the Southern Baptist Convention who are very, very fearful of a grassroots effort to try to regain some voice, some measure of control within their own denomination.
I noticed that a lot of the tactics that were being used to attack you, and over the past few days there have been leaks all over the place, these are tactics that are being played out in national politics as well, in the secular side, from the leaked audio recordings, leaked letters, selectively edited audio and video. Are you troubled by the fact that, quite frankly, this presidential campaign is very secular in the way it's being conducted?
It absolutely is, and I would qualify the idea that Russ Moore's letters were leaked letters. I have called them backdoor press releases. When you read them on even a cursory level, it's obvious they were never intended to be private correspondence. The first one was actually leaked to an anonymous blogger over on Twitter. And the second one was written to the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, but is written with kind of biographical descriptions of people that they both already knew. So it's clear this was never intended to be private correspondence. And Todd, it just goes to a major concern that Southern Baptists should have, that the top two leaders at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission have left their post in the last year, and both of them have acted in absolutely unethical ways. To go out in this way, to leak private letters, so to speak, and then to release private recordings or recordings from private conversations, it may be legal, but it's certainly not ethical.
Pastor, there have been accusations made, especially, this is a multi-pronged question here, but I want you to be able to respond to these because these accusations are out there. There were some individuals, issues involving hashtag MeToo incidents, not involving you, but in your handling of these, and there were the accusation is that you did not take these things seriously, and you tried to, quite frankly, cover it up. Your response to that?
Well, I find that to be a very offensive and egregious accusation, in part because I am myself a survivor of sexual abuse as a child, and to think that a pastor, a husband, a father of four, the shepherd of a congregation of more than 1,000 in attendance on any given Sunday, and himself a sex abuse survivor, would try to cover up pedophilia, it is an outrageous mischaracterization. It does tie back into, though, one of the systemic problems we have in the SBC. The reason that they're accusing me of trying to stall care and ministry to sex abuse victims is because I just personally believe that there was a better plan and a better process. And there are leaders right now in the SBC that if you don't just follow them, everything that they want to do, if you push back in any way at all or say maybe there's a better plan or a better way, they accuse you of being against the goal. I have not met any leader in the Southern Baptist Convention who is in favor of children being abused or molested in any context, certainly not in a Southern Baptist congregational context. I've simply not met such a person. There are differences of approach as what the best way is, and I have a different approach. I think there's a better, healthier plan than some of the other leaders in the Southern Baptist Convention. And they take that disagreement and they twist it and distort it for what seemed to be raw political purposes.
I'm no doubt about that. And that's what really troubled me as I was observing this from a distance. And for the record, I have endorsed you and your campaign. I want to be very upfront about that. I've written about this on our social media platforms. And I do so because I believe that you are going to address these issues, specifically critical race theory. But I know that Dr. Moore came out and said, well, you know, the opposition to him had nothing to do with his attacks on President Trump. And instead, he suggested it had to do with race and the sex scandals. And that, to me, raised a red flag, because ultimately, I do believe that's what this is about. And I think that by and large, when you look at the Southern Baptist Convention, you're going to find people who not only supported the president, but they embraced his policies. And honestly, it befuddled me why the leadership of the Southern Baptist Convention stood in opposition to the rank and file, the base of the denomination.
Well, Russell has accused the task force that I was the chair of. He's accused it of being motivated because we were trying to silence him and to keep him quiet about what he knew about the mishandling of sex abuse, racism allegations, et cetera. First of all, during the formation of that committee, during the operation of that committee, during the report that was given of that task force, no person in the entire country turned in any concern about the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission that dealt with their view about handling sex abuse or racism. That is a straw man of biblical proportion. But Todd, I want you to think about something. If we take Russell's press release at face value, then as early as February of 2020, he believed that he had incendiary information about Southern Baptist leaders covering up sexual abuse in our congregations. And for 17 months, the lead ethicist of the Southern Baptist Convention said nothing about it while he's publishing a book called The Courage to Stand. If we take his letter at face value, there are only two options. That is, his accusations are true, and he knew about it, and his entire executive board knew about it because he sent a letter to them about these concerns in February of 2020. The only other option is that these allegations are not true, and then we should ask, if they're not true, why does he release it now? And I would say it's because we're just a few days before what's going to be a watershed historic meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, Pastor Mike Stone, he is one of the candidates running for presidency of the Southern Baptist Convention. They're expecting, I mean, we're hearing it could be as many as 20,000 messengers, maybe even higher. Why do you think that is, and who do you think is showing up, is going to be showing up in Nashville on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday?
Well, we have 16,000 plus that have already pre-registered, and that's the highest it's been since 1995. And that does not count the people who will be, you know, coming at and registering at the door. So I do think that we could be pushing 18 to 20,000 messengers. We, even before this last week with Russ's press releases and all of these sorts of things, we were already at 14 to 15,000. And I believe that it's grassroots, rank and file Southern Baptists who are trying to push back on the social progressive woke agenda that's going on within the Southern Baptist Convention. They are lining up in large number because they want clarity on critical race theory and intersectionality, what your listeners would perhaps know as Resolution 9. They just want to push back on this progressive agenda. They want to see the Southern Baptist Convention remain a staunch conservative convention of Baptist churches.
Do you think, and again, this goes back to 2016, and I remember when Dr. Moore went out there and really tried to pick a fight with Donald Trump, and I thought at the time, I'm not sure he wants to do that, but then I thought, well, why in the world are we as a Southern Baptist Convention trying to pick a fight with Donald Trump? And of course, there was that infamous line about Trump supporters being the Jimmy Swaggart wing of the party, and that really struck a chord in me, because then finally, after just I don't know how long it was, weeks, months, however long that he was attacking Trump, Trump ignored him, and then when Trump actually responded and I think called him a nasty guy, all of a sudden, Dr. Moore became the victim, and the narrative switched to Donald Trump is attacking Russ Moore, when in fact it was the exact opposite of what was going on.
Yeah, I think that through that entire election cycle, what you had is you saw evidence of at least two problems. One was this condescending, arrogant attitude of a man who seemed like he felt he had been installed to be the prophetic voice to the people of the Southern Baptist Convention, when what his job was to do was to represent Southern Baptists, and Southern Baptists did not officially endorse any candidate in that. And that was just the latest example of an intentionally, at times it seemed like an intentionally divisive rhetoric that was coming out of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, offending the very people of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Pastor Simone, I want to ask you another question here. And we're coming up on a break. Would you mind just holding through the break? Because we have a couple of more questions. But real quick, before we do that, I do want to ask you about the Washington Post. They seem to have lots of sources inside the ERLC, because they're the ones that seem to be breaking all of these stories. And they are certainly no friend of yours. And I hope you understand that. These folks in the mainstream media are trying to destroy you and anybody else in that convention who has the same viewpoints you hold.
Todd, I would just point out that I've regularly preached that a man is known by his critics as well as by his friends. And so I would encourage Southern Baptists, and really all of your listeners, to look at the people that are saying such unkind things. They are no friends of the gospel. They're no friends of conservative Christian culture. They're no friends of conservative American culture at all. So there's some people, if they were saying nice things about me, I would be concerned, and I'd have to go back to my prayer closet and wonder where I was missing out.
All right, Pastor, hang tight. We're gonna get back to you in just a moment. Folks, I know we have a lot of Baptists out there. Some of you may want to ask a question. Give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Pastor Mike Stone of the Southern Baptist Convention could be the next president. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go to the phones. We have Pastor Mike Stone with us, and I want to go to Ryan in North Carolina, listening to us on the app. And Ryan has a question for Pastor Stone. Ryan, what's your question?
Yes, Todd Starnes, you're a great American, longtime listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
My question is, I just signed on as the website administrator for a Southern Baptist church here in North Carolina. I read their constitution before joining and found out they were self-governing, which I like, but then found out that their pastor was a member of SBC. To what extent is the individual church member accountable to the national hierarchy for the decisions that they make, or if they should decide to go against the national hierarchy in their decisions regarding critical race theory, regarding gender, or any of the progressive malarkey that's going to come up?
That's a good question. Pastor Mike Stone, would you want to answer that for Ryan?
Yeah, I will. Despite the amicus brief that has been filed by the ERLC and a case that's against the North American Mission Board, the Southern Baptist Convention is not a hierarchy. Every Southern Baptist church is absolutely autonomous. We are as independent as what would be commonly known as independent Baptist churches. So your question of accountability for decisions made at the national level, nothing that happens at the national level has any power or authority over a local congregation, and certainly not over a member of that local congregation. The Southern Baptist Convention has headquarters. They're not in Nashville, Tennessee. The headquarters of the Southern Baptist Convention is the local church. There are 47,000 plus headquarter offices. It's the local church. And the Southern Baptist Convention is not designed to be top down. It's to be bottom down. And I say that intentionally. It's bottom down. It's from the local church down to the national level. And that's what I think we're beginning to see, a groundswell of people who are tired of a hierarchical kind of relationship coming out of our national leaders.
All right, Ryan, thank you for that call. And 844-747-8868, our toll-free number, that's 844-747-8868. You know, Pastor Stone, one of the things that's really troubled me over all of this is they're coming after you and they're playing dirty. I know you guys are trying to be, you know, trying to be Christ-like and your responses to these folks. But I see that they're using the mainstream media. And I like what you had to say earlier. I was reading those bylines, and I know exactly who those folks are friends with within, and they are friends with the children of previous Southern Baptist Convention pastors. They are connected to a lot of these folks. So it's not by chance that the Washington Post and Religion News Service are coming after you and others who feel the same way you do.
Yeah, it is a smear campaign that really would almost make Washington embarrassed that they didn't think of it. I was sharing with one of my members today, by the way, one reason that I've not been able to respond as quickly is I'm pastoring a local church, and we've been having children's camp this week. We've had hundreds of kids on our campus, and I was telling one of our members this morning that if somebody wanted to oppose me as president of the convention, they could say they don't think I'm a good preacher, that I'm not a good pastor, maybe I'm not a gifted communicator. They could accuse me of maybe not being gifted in terms of leadership and management. You do not have to make up some idea that I'm in favor of covering up for pedophiles and for child molestation.
That's right.
That is an absolutely egregious lie. And it smacks of the dirtiest, most unethical behavior that I could possibly imagine. It's only made more egregious because it's happening among supposed brothers.
Pastor Stone, we're going to have to leave it there. We have a hard break coming up. Best of luck to you, sir. I know a lot of our listeners are going to be praying for you and all the other Southern Baptist Convention messengers heading to Nashville. Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Mike Stone, this is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. By the way, here is your next trivia question. We always play Friday trivia here on the program. Also, final segment of the show, Open Line Friday, so you can ask me anything you want to. Here is the question. What news network launched on June 1st, 1980? What news network, and I use that term news loosely, what news network launched on June 1st, 1980? If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. So, had a lot of you folks send me some video, and we have this posted on our website, of a beautiful thing that happened at the New York Islanders hockey game, where Nicole Raviv was singing the national anthem. And I, you know what? We're just going to play this so you can hear it for yourself.
Nicole Raviv, as we sing together our national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed.
Just terrific. Wow. That's America right there, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you let them believe, don't you believe the lie that we are a divided nation. No, no, sir. No, sir. We are the United States of America, one nation under God. And on the Liberty University Newsmaker line is the beautiful songwriter and the singer who performed that song, Nicole Raviv. Nicole, what an honor to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
You know, I want you to take us back to that moment, and this is what you do. You are the official national anthem singer for the Islanders. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
So what was that like to be there in that massive arena, all of those people singing together?
Honestly, it was so magical. Like, I have a hard time even describing it. I get goosebumps thinking about it. And it was just so unique. It was singing with the fans was so incredible, and hearing them and watching them, and, you know, everyone standing up and has their hand to their hearts. And it's just such a beautiful moment. And I was so glad to share it with all the Islanders fans and everyone else who's been watching and been watching.
Were you surprised that it went viral? I mean, everybody is sharing this video of you singing.
Oh, man, yeah, I have been surprised. I didn't expect, you know, any of this, but it's awesome. As you said, you know, it's the celebration of our people. We all came together as one after such a difficult year, and the atmosphere in there was something to be shared, and everyone was a part of it, so they felt like they wanted to share it. So, I mean, I'm not surprised right now because everyone really felt it.
You know, it's one of those iconic moments, you know, when you just get together and everybody remembers, okay, this is who we are. This is what we're really all about.
Definitely. Definitely. Everyone in that room had passion and, you know, not everyone gets to experience something like that. So I feel truly grateful.
Oh, look, I've had to speak before a crowd of, you know, a few thousand people, not like this. And I was, you know, I had the butterflies going the whole nine yards. But to sing in front of that massive crowd there, It was just a beautiful thing, Nicole. But what impressed me the most about you was there was a moment when you realized, you know what, this is not about me. This is about us. And you just lowered the microphone, and then you hear everybody singing together, and you sort of became a de facto choir director.
I like to call it the maestro.
I love it, the maestro. Now tell us what. Now, I was checking out your Twitter feed, and you are also an actress. You're also a singer. Tell us about your career, what you do.
Of course. So I'm a singer, songwriter, recording artist. I studied music and theater, so I did do some acting. Lately, I've been doing a lot more music and writing my own music as well. I have some new music that should be coming out soon, actually recorded in Long Island. So I'm excited about that. And yeah, I've been doing national anthems and sporting events and all kinds of different concerts and just working on my own music and collaborating with a lot of other people.
Now, Nicole, are you born and raised in Long Island?
No, I was born and raised in Montreal, Canada, and I moved to New York to study musical theater in Manhattan. And I stayed after college. So I've been here for like 9 years.
Good for you. Well, it's a neat thing that you did, and I'm curious, is this something that you guys do at every game? Does everybody sing along?
Usually, like during the playoffs, as soon as playoffs started, the Islanders fans right away kind of came together. You know, with the stakes being so high and playoffs giving off such a wonderful energy and you know, people just wanted to be a part of it. So they started singing. But ever since, I don't know if you know what happened prior to game six, the game four, which was also at home, I had some technical issues with my microphone. And so people were singing louder than ever to recover. And that kind of started everything of, you know what, these fans really need to be heard. They want to sing, and this is our moment.
Good for them, and good for you. Nicole, what a great – you said you're from Canada, but you're an American patriot in my book. And I just want to say thank you, and please let the Islanders fans know that they've got a lot of respect all over America. People are singing along with them. So, Nicole, God bless you, and thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. Nicole Revive, she was the singer, and Avery and Gracia, I mean, we've got the video. I wrote a story about this. It was the focus of one of my morning commentaries. I mean, that was a pretty awesome moment.
Oh, yeah, it was beautiful.
It was
and
amazing.
Encouraging.
And you know what people don't realize about Long Island? It's a lot like the South, just different accents.
Fair.
No biscuits, bagels, but everything else, pickup trucks, God, country, they love law enforcement, they back the blue.
Nice.
Folks go to church. You know, it's just a great part of America. So it's not like New York City, you know.
I mean, it's like a totally different place.
Yeah, it's like normal.
Yeah, normal.
Is what I was trying
New
to
York's
say.
New York special.
But we posted the video there, and the audio itself is really moving. But if you watch the video, it all makes sense. And to see her, what great respect she had, she dropped that microphone, and she realized, you know what, this is not about me. This is about us. And it was pretty awesome. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break here. Here is yet another trivia question. Some of these are a little hard, but if you were listening to yesterday's show, you might know the answer to this. What was the name of the superhero character created by Howard Stern? Howard Stern, we were talking about this yesterday. Was it M-O-M, was it Batman, or Fartman? If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, just a reminder to get to our website, pre-order a copy of my brand new book. I will personally autograph that for you, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. Included in this book, many recipes, stories, Bible passages that you folks have shared with us over the past year or so. And we would love to get you a copy of this book. ToddStarnes.com. Go to the store and you'll be able to not only order a book, but if you want to get a hat, great T-shirts, we've got all sorts of great stuff for you, including an awesome blessed, not bitter coffee mug. Blessed, not bitter. All right, let's go to the phones here. Doug in Gainesville, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. That is Avery Bryson territory down there. Doug, how's it going today?
It's going great. Thanks for having me on.
All right. I'm not sure what that was. Let's go to the question of the day. What was the name of the superhero made by Howard Stern? Doug, what was that offensive superhero character?
Very offensive, Fartman.
Fartman, yes. Yes. Did you ever think you would win a prize on a Fartman question, Doug?
Never.
No. Who was responsible for that, Grace? Was that an Avery question?
That was an Avery question.
Uh-huh. All right. I kind of figured as
Mine
much.
Mine was Super Mario's.
Okay. Oh, that was a good question. I like the Mario's. Fartman. All right. Doug, hang tight. We're going to get you hooked up with a prize package. Don't go anywhere. Grace is going to get your info. Here is the an outstanding question. We need to know, the news network launched on June 1st, 1980. A cable news channel was launched on June 1st, 1980. If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. Let's go to Hendersonville, North Carolina. Bill is listening to us on WHKP. And Bill, I understand you want to talk about this Vacation Bible School banner.
Yeah, I was a little surprised at your take on that. The Army has to be secular, as well as the Air Force, Navy, and so on. And I was kind of surprised that you couldn't see that you can't put things like that, like giant banners about with Jesus' name on it, at the main gate. The optics are just terrible. And, you know, the main gate of a base or a fort is kind of like the marquee on a theater. And everybody sees it who drives by or goes in. And I thought that you would understand that you can't do that. Now, inside the base, sure, you know. I just kind of was surprised by your answer on that.
Bill, what law are you basing that on, that the Army has to be secular?
Well, I don't know. I'm a 25-year Air Force Reserve veteran, Vietnam veteran, and so on. But there's something in the code of military justice or something that says that you have to, you know, can't prefer one religion over another, and you can't. What are you going to do next?
How are they preferring one religion over the other, Bill? I don't understand that.
Well, by advertising on the front gate, if that's where that thing was. I saw the article. They showed it on a fence somewhere. But, they just can't have that out front.
Now,
you have to be a little discreet here. And, like I said, the optics are terrible. If you put the Christian one up there, then you have to have a Muslim sign over here and maybe a Jewish, you know, symbol over here on the front gate. And it starts to make the whole Army look a little, you know, off center. That was all I was going to say.
We looked into this and we checked in with some of our legal folks that we reach out to, and they say that the Department of Defense has no rule banning anything related to religion. So the VBS, if they follow the rules and regulations, and again, there are a few things we don't know about because the military will not comment, but we wanted to know, were they allowed to post that banner on the front, at the front gate, you know, on the fence? Is that permissible? If it wasn't, and if they're allowed to post that banner somewhere else, okay, well, that's a different story. But in the response to the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, the base commander actually said, we removed signs. So it was plural. So that implies that there were other signs around the base. Again, military rules say that is permissible. You are allowed to promote events, but there's nothing in the and again, there is nothing in the military code of justice that says that the Army, Air Force, Marines, the Navy, Coast Guard have to be secular. That's and again, going back to George Washington, who actually instituted the practice of having chaplains in the military, Bill.
Sure. Well, I just thought it was just a bad decision to do something like that. There was a case several years ago, I think I heard it on the Mike Gallagher show, about this Supreme Court steps where there was a Boy Scout group or some church group wanted to have a prayer vigil on the Supreme Court steps. And, of course, the park police chased them away.
That's right.
And the radio host said, well, isn't that terrible, what's happening to Christianity today? The thing is, if you let that group do a prayer vigil, well, next week the Muslims will be out there with rugs on the front steps.
That's right. And they're allowed to do that, Bill. It's called America. Why not? It's called America. We have freedom of religion. And here's my policy.
Correct.
As long as your religion doesn't want to blow my religion up, I'm happy and I'm more than happy to get along with you. But, you know, I draw the line when they want to start blowing each other up. That's where I draw the line. But this is America. And if the Christians can go out and pray on the steps of the Capitol, then so can the Muslims and the Jews and the Hindus and whoever else. I don't have a problem with that. But by and large, they're attacking Christians in this country, and I do have a problem with that. Bill, appreciate the call, and thank you for listening to us on WHKP. And again, we had a good conversation there, right? Bill, he had an argument, and we were able to have a little bit of a conversation. Unlike the military religious freedom guy who was just nonstop, yammering. By the way, could you imagine, you got Vacation Bible School, Grace. Could you imagine Vacation Atheist School?
Such a thing does not exist. That's why I can't imagine it.
You sit around talking about nothing all day.
I was about to say.
And what is snack time? You get to what? Kale chips and wheatgrass.
You get nothing.
Yeah, I'd rather have the Hydrox cookies thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. All right, let's go back to Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN Country. Avery, it's like half your people are calling in today. I think Avery has gone away. Hello, Gary. How's it going?
Man, it's wonderful. How are you?
Gary, I'm doing better than I deserve, as Dave Ramsey would say. Hey, let's win you a prize here. We need to know the name of that news network that was launched on June 1st, 1980.
Atlanta-based CNN.
Yeah, the most profane name in news. You are correct, Gary. CNN, launched by Ted Turner, June 1st, 1980. You know, back in the day, it was actually pretty decent, back when it was actually a news network. But then they got woke.
That's right. We had a friend that worked there. She was on daily. So, it was not bad in the old days. But they, I know one of their reporters back in the day said, the journalist said that the CNN's goal was to be here when the world ends, and you can watch the world cable news network.
That's right. That's exactly what Ted Turner said. Of course, he made his fortune in billboards, by the way. So whenever you see that word Turner on the billboards, of course, he sold all of that, but that's where that came from. Gary,
absolutely.
Hang tight.
Absolutely.
Hang tight. We're going to get you hooked up with Grace. Folks, it has been a great week. We're going to be hitting the road. We'll be at the Southern Baptist Convention next week. CPAC coming up. I'll be speaking. We'll be doing our show from CPAC and the NRB. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, folks, I want to say a very special thanks to Kyle and Grace, Avery and JP. You guys get out there, enjoy your Friday, and whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.